Amen. We're going to dismiss the little kids. We're going to keep all the older kids here for the gospel presentation. So we'll dismiss them at this time. If you want to keep your kids in, you're just that's fine as well too. I would like you to go to the book of Luke today. The book of Luke, chapter 2. And I'll just pick up reading in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for him in the inn. Verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field and keeping watch over the flock by night. Let's ask the Lord to bless this by just bowing our heads in prayer. Father God, we love you today. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day, Father God, that you've given us, Lord Jesus, to think back, Father, and to remember, Father, the grace and the mercy and the love of God, Lord Jesus, that stretches out and reaches out to us, Lord God. Father, help us, Lord, to know, Father God, that there is such an unbelievable amount of love, Father, from you, Lord Jesus. Let it flow in this room, Father God. Let the Holy Spirit come into this room right now. Let the Holy Ghost come into this place right now in every human heart, Father. Father, draw us nigh unto you, Father God. We pray it in agreement. Every Christian in this house pray right now that the Holy Spirit would supersede, Father, everything. Bring anointing to the power and anointing of this Word of God and draw us close to you. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. If there's a message that needs to go forward in this hour, it's about all of us. These shepherds were men who tended flocks of sheep. They were, as you saw, kind of depicted in the short film, some would have been thought to be fools or uneducated or weak. We know that they were sore afraid when they saw the angels. These men, they were a blue-collar type of people. They weren't perfect. They were laborers. They were workers. They were poor. They were humble, industrious. But God chose shepherds to come first. God chose these kind of people. He came to these types of people. They were abiding in the field, keeping watch by night. You guys know anything that happens at night, it's dark out there. Amen. And it's sore afraid when you see an angel or anything else like that. I want you guys to know that it's dark out in the world in which we live. There's a darkness out there. There's murder. There's shootings. There's wars. There's rumors of war. I listened to the most current Fox News update about the general, the Marine general, that says war is imminent. War is imminent. This is from one of the leading Marine Corps generals, as he's looking at the situation that's taking place in Israel. And his great statement, war is imminent. He believes it's coming very, very, very soon. But there's a darkness in this land. There is a darkness in this land. And it tells me this, we better be evangelistic. Amen. We better be about our Father's business. We better be doing what he's called us to do in the days and the ticks of time that we have left. Amen. Many of the prophets and the prophecy people, they would say, they would look at Matthew 24 and they'd say, they take that scripture that says, and this generation that sees Israel become a fig tree shall not pass away before all of these things come to pass. And then shall the end be. Most Bible prophecy guys that I know, they'll say this of Matthew 24. They say, the generation that sees Israel become a nation. I think it was March 15th, 1948. This generation shall not pass until all these things come to pass. If you do the math, you're going to find out that 70 years, which is the biblical generation, what we believe to be, would be 2018. I'm just saying it's dark out there. I'm just saying there's wars and rumors of wars. I'm just saying there's people out there in burning buildings and we've got to go in and get them. I'm just saying God's given us a window of time to do what He's called us to do. And we better do it by faith so that God can bless it. Amen? We've got to love people so much that it hurts. And we've got to sacrifice and we've got to go to these people that need the love of God right now. Because the Bible says there's many people in these cities that'll still believe. And I've got a pile of letters that'll prove that. In Romans 10, 14, you don't have to go there. It says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not heard? In whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Church, it's upon you and me and everybody else that we take this message that we have just heard about and we go into all the world, we go tell it on the mountain. We tell people because the end is soon and it's coming soon. Somebody say amen if they believe that today. Amen. Many lives are going to depend on what you and I do. And here we see it in the context of the stories with the shepherds in verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. So the glory of the Lord comes into that field that night as they're tending their flocks, and obviously they get down, they bow down under the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. The very presence of the angels, they feel the power of God. It symbolized God's presence. The Shekinah glory is what it's called, and it brought a fear and it brought a reverence to the things of God. And I want to say something this morning. We need that to come back to the churches. Amen. We need the very Shekinah glory, the very power and glory of God to come into our services so the people will fear again, not to be afraid of God, but they would reverence God again. There needs to be a reverence for God in this land again. Do you understand that? It'll come back when the Shekinah glory comes into the room again, when the Bible fills the temple and your temples and the glory of God comes upon all of us. There will be a fear and a reverence and a conviction of sin because the Holy Spirit is still holy. Amen? Every single person needs to be filled with this Holy Ghost and power. Every single person needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And my God, we need the power of God. When there's no glory, there's no power. When there's no glory, there's no fear and no reverence. And then it becomes oratory and it becomes entertainment. And it becomes a lot of other things. But in Deuteronomy 5:29, this is what the Lord says. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me again and keep all my commandments. God wants us to reverence Him and to follow Him and to obey Him and to love Him. And I believe the solution is upon us all. That if God could take the 100 people that's in this room today, give or take, I don't know how many people are in this room, but if God could take us and cause us to be the solution to the end time problem, then He would raise every single one of us up in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, and He would make us all evangelists. He would make us all worship leaders like Little Joy was and Ben has been. He would make us all praisers and glorifiers of our God. Amen? He would cause every single one, old and small, to be a teller of the greatest story that there's ever been. He would cause us to want to see people saved, and He would move us out of our comfort zones to go into all these places and preach the gospel for the Lord God's sake. Amen? Amen. That's what He wants to do. That would be His solution to the problem today. C.T. Studd said this, some wish to live within a sound of a chapel bell. I wish to run a rescue mission within a yard of hell. One of the great missionaries of our time. God has his people everywhere. I read in that little note that God has sent, he's planted a church here. He sent a pastor here. He's given us a people here to do damage to the devil's kingdom. Amen. That was all God's work in God's providential time to touch us again. So we can save people, so we can disciple people, so we can be about our Father's business. And I want to tell you in this hour, there's one thing we need to fear. And I want to quote Jesus Christ on this. There's one thing to fear in this hour. Be not afraid of them that kill the body. And after that, have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed and hath power to cast ye into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Fear Jesus. Amen. Fear God. 2 Corinthians 5:11 says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing that there's going to be a judgment seat of Christ, knowing that there's an imminent return to the Lord Jesus, our Father God who's coming as judge, we're moved with compassion and compulsion and urgency to go tell the entire world of the good news in which God has come to tell us. Amen? The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Hallelujah. We see John on the Isle of Patmos fall as dead in the sight and in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. But you see it all the way through the Bible. You see it even outside of the Bible. You see Moses when he sees the burning bush and he has to take, God says, take your shoes off. This is holy ground. You see, when you get into the presence of the Holy One, you can't stay the same. There has to be a change in your life. Amen. There's a God dealing. He's dealing deep unto deep and he's dealing with us and he's bringing us in line with him. If you study Reformation, in the Great Awakening, there was a man in 1741. His name was Jonathan Edwards. And he preached the great message, Sinners in the Hands of a... of a what? Angry. Of an angry God. And people clung to the pillars. And there was such a moving and a revival in the northeast part of this of the United States of America, that millions of people came to Jesus Christ. Under John Wesley's preaching, men in the thousands and ten thousands were lying on the ground unconscious. They had seen themselves in the light of God's holiness, and they began to see the reverence and awe for an almighty God again. In the Hebrides Islands, when revival came to the Hebrides, they cried out before the Almighty God and they said, is there mercy for me? Is there mercy for me? Is there mercy for me? Was the cry of the Hebrides. And my God, there was mercy for them. Amen. The Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And we see the shepherds face down worshiping in the presence of the glory of God. In the presence of the glory of God, there's only one thing to do, and that's to do what those shepherds did. And they bowed down before him. And it's to do what the Magi did as they saw Jesus. They got in the presence of Jesus Christ and they fell down before him. Fall on your knees. My God, church, are you hearing me this morning? The presence of Jesus Christ causes us to worship. Amen? Amen. The presence of Jesus Christ causes us to praise and to love the Lord God. And dear God, I want to tell you, when I got to lead that man to the Lord on Friday, I went back to the chapel after I had come out of there knowing that God had used me to be hands and feet. That's all I was used for. But I got on my knees and I stayed there in that chapel on these knees for the next hour. And I felt the Shekinah glory of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost fall on me and cause me to weep and weep and weep and weep. And I could not get up off my feet for the next hour. And I didn't want to go anywhere because in his presence is fullness of joy. Amen. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. But it was the same glory of God that was on us in that hospital, that was on us last Wednesday night as we went into the rest homes and sang carols and got to pray and lead people to salvation. Church, this is what I'm talking about, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise this morning in this house. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. We need God. Verse 10. And the angel said unto them, the shepherds, fear not, fear not. Don't be afraid of the glory of God. Don't be afraid of the glory of God. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Everybody say great joy.
Great joy.
I'm bringing you the greatest tidings that you've ever heard of great joy, which shall be unto all people. So church, why don't we have great joy this morning? Did anybody walk in here and you had less than great joy today? Anybody at all? Let's be honest. Because the angels, it was like they were leaning on the firmament of heaven and they were watching and they were looking down, and it's like a bunch of them just fell on down. And all of a sudden they were so interested in this, in Christ being born into human flesh, that the glory of God shone throughout that field. And the angels were in awe of what was happening, that God the Father wanted to deal with fallen men and to redeem them, to bring them back and to buy them and to seek and to search out that which was lost. There was such joy in it, in the Magi. We see in Matthew 2:10. And then in Elizabeth, there was joy when Jesus came into the scene and John the Baptist was leaping in her womb. And in Mary, she felt joy, it says in Luke 1:46. And in Zacharias, he felt joy. And the shepherds, they felt joy when they had seen the angel and they had seen God move. Church, I want to tell you that if you're lacking joy today, something's lacking in your life. Amen. But the presence of Jesus will bring joy back into your life. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Man, I'm telling you, this is something to be excited about. Look at this, church. This is the greatest Christmas gift that there could ever be. This should make us want to praise God for a billion years and the next billion years and the next billion years. This is bringing peace and rest and love to every single person. Hallelujah. Go to verse 11 and read it with me. For unto you, everybody say you. Now point at you. Now point to your neighbor, point to them. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 9:6, I want to read this wonderful verse to you. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And it says, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This mighty God is full of grace and he's full of truth. The Bible says in John 1:14, and the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. He's the Lord all-powerful. He's the Lord God Almighty. Jesus is Savior. He's Christ. He is the Lord. And we don't need to be afraid of him anymore. He's saying, fear not. I'm bringing you the greatest tidings that there could ever be. And here is the sign, a baby that's wrapped in swaddling clothes. It's interesting to me that the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Amen. He is the Word of God. So the good tidings that were coming down was a person. It wasn't a creed. It wasn't confession. It wasn't religion. It was not this church or any other church. I'll never preach a church. I'll never preach denomination. I'll only preach Jesus. Somebody say amen to that. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus Christ. Oh my God, hallelujah. This was going to be the sign. The one who was born in the manger is the same one that went to the cross and died and paid the price for our sins. Dear God, as I pointed that man to Jesus Christ and told him those exact words, Christ came into that moment and Christ began to touch him by the Holy Spirit. And that's the answer to every man's problem is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He's the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God, which has taken away the sin of the world. He was the spotless Lamb, if you remember from the movie. Where are we going to find something spotless? Where are we going to find something that can handle the sin? He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Verse 12, and this shall be a sign. Verse 12, and it's literally a miracle is what that means. A miracle is going to happen, and it's unto you. Point at you again. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Church, I've preached this before years, but it never stops me from being in awe that Jesus Christ was already laying in a wooden edifice of man's making, a feed bunk. That little child born sinless from God came and was laying on beams of wood. from the moment of his birth. Let that sink in. Selah. Jesus was on the cross and he was on a mission from the second he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. He was on a mission for you and he was on a mission for me. He was going to live the perfect life. He was going to come after us, wrapped in grave's clothes, to pay a penalty that we could never pay for ourselves, but to set every single person in this room free of bondage and sin and death and to break the chains that bound us all. And dear God, my God, this is the greatest news that could ever be. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all the people. That's you and your children and your children's children and many that are afar off and from all ends of the earth. This is the greatest news. The Prince of Peace was about to break the chains. The light of the world was going to come into this world and change everything. Praise the name of Jesus. And this is the Christmas message. This is the Christmas story. God came in the weakest of human form. A baby can't talk. A baby can't walk. A little baby can't feed himself. It's the weakest form of humanity. God could have caused Jesus to be a 50-foot angel. Built like Schwarzenegger or something like, you know what I mean? Why didn't he just cause him to be some militant, powerful hero right from the beginning? He didn't even have to be, he could have been born and he could have been 33 when he was born. Why did God choose to have him be so weak? Think about this. Wrapped in rags. Think about this. When we're saved, when Christ comes into our heart, are you perfect and perfected? And are you, I mean, think about the night that you came to Christ, the day that you came to Christ, whenever it was, when you became born again. Were you just walking in unbelievable holiness? And because of that, God said, okay, you're in. Uh-uh. Think about it. God indwells us who still have the sin nature. He indwells, God invades your sin nature. He comes in. And so there's two natures, a sin nature and a divine nature within us. He makes his abode with sinful man. Think about that. Because every single one of you still has the old man in you, don't you? Yes. Is that true? Yes. Have anybody been perfected to the point where there's, Maybe when we reach when this mortality slips off and we walk into immortality then, at death. But Christ makes his abode with sinful man and he changes us from the inside out. He's not afraid of your sins. Think about that. He's not afraid of your weaknesses. He's not afraid of your failings. He's not afraid if all you've ever done is fail. He's not afraid if all you've ever done is unbelief. If you can muster a mustard seed of faith, if you can come up with childlike faith, there's hope for you today. Amen. There's hope in Jesus Christ. It's not about perfection. It's not about anything, but it's about Jesus' perfection. Amen. It's about his completeness. It's about his atoning work. It's about his righteousness. Christmas ought to be about Jesus. Somebody say amen to that. It ought to be about him and the glory of God. And if we would just start to join up with the angels and the magi and all these other people that once they got in the presence of Jesus, my God, everything was all right, and they all began to worship him because they couldn't do anything but worship Jesus. Dear God, we would be the most loving people that there ever were. Amen. We'd be the most humble people, broken people, because we knew we didn't deserve this thing, but it was God coming after us. My God, think of the contrast of the manger to the Hilton where he could have been born, or the palace where he could have been born. And yet Malachi prophesies, him whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting. This Jesus that was from everlasting to everlasting is now. Ye shall find a babe whom the heaven of heavens cannot contain, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Your Savior, Christ the Lord. How on earth? If that is not a miracle, it's beyond comprehension what God's plan was and what He's doing. And yet we are getting it by revelation. The Bible says God's not hid it from us, but He's shown these spiritual things unto fools, like us shepherds, along the way. I've been a farm kid my whole life, Northeast Nebraska, Pender, Nebraska, four generation farm. We've been in a lot of barns. My brothers and I have scooped a lot of poop. I was trying to think of a better way to say that. Excrement's maybe a better word. How about manure? Anybody in Northeast Nebraska know what I'm talking about? Trevor, you know what manure is? Trevor's laughing. It smells. Anybody knows what ammonia is that comes up off that? It's urine, okay? Jesus was born in a barn. You ever gone to the local cafe or whatever and the hog farmers come in and sit down about two booths from you? They've been working all morning. But know what I'm talking about?
Smell.
You know where they've been, don't you? You know what they've been doing. You can't really hide it. In fact, I can pretty much sit down with anybody. I know that smell because I've lived it. I know that one, and I know that. These guys are coming from everywhere. A bunch of farmers sitting down with the coffee or whatever else. Church, what I'm saying is it stunk. Jesus came to a place that stunk. The ammonia was probably burning the nose in that place. But here's the message. Please listen to me here. There is nowhere you can go where God won't come and get you. There's nowhere you can go where God will not come and get you. In the depths of sin. Anybody been a sinner in this room? Paul said, I was the chiefest of sinners. God went to the depths of that to come and to rescue you and to find you and to pull you out of the muck and the mire. And Jesus was born, and all of these things were sovereign, and they all meant something because Jesus cares about you. Joey, Jesus cares about you. Ben, Jesus cares about you. He cares about you, Cam. Jesus cares about every one of us, and there's no place that we can't go where He's not trying to come and rescue us, where He won't come and get after us. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says this, He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might become rich. Wow. Luke 2:13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. The heavenly host came down. It was an army celebrating that the Prince of Peace was here. He had been revealed. They had waited 400 years of bondage and nothing had happened. And yet my God was going to come through. And in verse 14 it says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it was as if God was holding up his child wrapped in humanity now and saying, this is the Prince of Peace. This is the Prince of Peace. It was as if God was showing the world that this was the peace treaty that I have with North Korea. This is the peace treaty I have with Russia. This is the plan I have for the Palestinian state in Israel. And by the way, Israel, this is your Messiah. This is your Messiah, Israel. And he held up his son. And the sad thing about it is the world can't figure out to this day, and some religions today cannot figure it out, that this Christ is the Lord God Almighty. This Messiah is the answer to the world's problems. And God was putting him on display, but he was showing the foolish. Not many wise, not many noble. Will God ever reveal this to? But he has revealed his son unto us. He has revealed it to people like us. What a comfort. Aren't you glad that you have been called of God to be a son of God today? A daughter of the King,
Doesn't it make you feel special to know that there's a God up in heaven that loves you so much that he would bankrupt heaven to come down here to this earth to meet with you? As I talked to that man at the hospital, I quoted Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open that door, I'll come in, I'll sup with him, and we'll have relationship." That Jesus, who is still very much alive, who was doing miracles last night at 10 o'clock, we're at the Wisner Manor, amen? And another man slipped into eternity. Our God, Jesus Christ, made peace with the entire world. And this is the grand necessity of a fallen world. Look at this. By reconciling the world to God in his atonement, Jesus Christ made a way for all of us to be able to be saved. By bringing the sinner to a state of peace with God the Father, he was introducing them to lay down all of our weapons of unbelief and rebellion and to put our faith and trust in his word alone and to begin to walk with God in the cool of the day again to restore relationship that we might know him and that he would have full access to us at all times. Hallelujah. That God would come back into your heart and into humanity and cause you to do things that you could have never ever done and cause possibilities to be endless and limitless because Jesus Christ is alive today. Amen. He's risen from the dead. And he is Lord. Number three, I want you guys to know this. God infused your heart the moment you put faith in Jesus Christ. And I can prove it. Because this is what he does. And if you're born again, you know that this has happened. We sing the song, "Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace." Amen. He brought universal goodwill to men. Think about it. The only way that you can love one another is through Jesus Christ. The only way that you can seek somebody else's welfare and to love somebody like Christ, love the church, love your wife like Christ, is because Christ is in you. He came to banish envy and malice and pride and lusts and passions and covetousness all in one fell swoop by bringing somebody that could fulfill the law and planting him into your heart. One that's perfect, one that's righteous, one that's glorified, one that's God came to live within man. Amen? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. God has never willed anything otherwise than goodwill toward men. Not his will that any man should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's his will. He didn't come into this world that this world would be condemned, but rather that this world might be saved. Amen? That all men, think about the goodwill that's flowing towards from heaven towards man. And the Christmas story is just a perfect picture of it. Let's finish this. In verse 15, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, house of bread, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And I wonder if this is what John Wesley saw in vision when he began to sing this, "Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail incarnate deity, pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel, hark the herald angels sing, glory." Verse 2, "Hail the heavenly born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings, mild he lay his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth." That's the new birth. That's being born again. "Born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory, glory, glory to the newborn king." Somebody shout glory in this place today. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And when they had seen it, when they had seen Jesus, when they had seen the sign that was proclaimed, they believed it. They believed that this was Jesus, this was the Son of God, this was Messiah, and they made it known abroad, the saying which was told concerning the child. They went and told everybody about this great gift. This is the Redeemer of the world. This is Christ, Jesus, our King and Lord. So they were the first evangelists, Dad. But Matt and Janet, we're the last evangelists. Right? Brett, you're one of the last evangelists that's going to stand. James, Cam, we're on the last enlistment line of the Lord. But we have certainly seen it. Church, have you seen what I'm talking about? Sister Carol, are you with me in this? Have we seen what they saw? Have you seen Jesus Christ? Have you seen the Son of God? Amen? Have you seen Him in His death and His burial and His resurrection? Have you identified with Him by faith? Has He come and really touched you? Are you really born again? Come on, church. It's a happy thing if you are. You know what I'm talking about. There's nothing like Jesus. He changes everything. Joel, does He change everything? He changes everything, man. I'm telling you. This is the greatest thing. And they went and told everybody about this change. They knew it. They had the evidence. They heard and believed what the angels saw. They knew it was now on them to proclaim to others what they had seen and felt and witnessed and delighted in their own heart. This Jesus that had appeared to them. Do you remember what it was like when you first got saved, David? And you had to tell everybody about Jesus.
Amen.
Do you remember when, Matt, you're working at Twin Mix, and you've got to tell that buddy of yours at Twin Mix, that worker, about this Jesus? Remember you're going to go visit somebody's grandma, and the time slipping away, and you knew you had to go? You remember when this message was all that mattered? This message of Jesus Christ, the message of Christmas, the message of Christ was all that mattered. Is that still you today? I pray to God that it is. These shepherds made an impression upon the world in which they lived. Verse 18, and I'm going to ask Ben to come, and I think it's a Hark the Herald Angels sing as we close this out today. You can come now. And all they that heard it, look at this, all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Can you see the wonder is built into this thing? The wonder of the cross, the wonder of a new life, the wonder of God coming, being birthed into human flesh, the wonder of the light coming into darkness. It's a wonderful message, and the whole world has wondered ever since. Church, and here's the message. God came for you. He came in your mess. He came in your weakness. He came in your life situation. He came into your abuse. He came into your divorce. He came into your whatever it was in your life. He comes in meekness, and He'll make you clean, and He'll wash your sins away. No wonder the shepherds came bursting into that room. They had waited forever. They had waited for this, Ramon. This is what they had waited for. And I believe the whole of Christianity needs to hear this message right now. They had waited for one glimmer of hope. That shepherd depicted in that illustration, he had absolutely nothing in life, nothing. But this gave him hope. I want to tell you guys that none of us have anything going in this world outside of the hope that's in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But on the other hand, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has come into the heart the things that God hath prepared for they that love Him. What I'm telling you today is that we cannot fathom the hope and the grace and the love that God has for every single person in this room. Come on now, stay with me. We can't even fathom the riches and the splendor of Art, who's passed away, of William, who's on his way to heaven, Amy's grandpa. We cannot even fathom the things that God hath prepared for they that love him. Church, this is good tidings. Amen? Amen. Church, this is great joy. Amen? Amen? And it's to all the people that would ever believe, whosoever would ever come and put their trust in him. And this is the message that God came for us. Is there any good thing that could come out of the Bradfields? I mean, Nazareth?
Amen.
Yes. Jesus comes into the world, and now look at this, and I'm closing with this, but look. Now the demon-possessed woman, what was her name? Mary Magdalene? Now she's coming to be set free. What about the blind? What about Bartimaeus? Instantly he's healed, and now the halt and the lame, they were all coming, and the leper is coming, and the Roman centurion's now coming, and the woman with the issue of blood is going to touch the hem of his garment, and now the eyes are going to be opened, and my God, he's healing, and he healed every single one of them, and he's healed us all, and he'll continue to heal us all until the day he takes us home in a rapture. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And Mary pondered all these things in her heart. And the last verse is, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard, all the things that they had seen, as it was told unto them. My God, church. I think if the shepherds can return glorifying, I think if the angels broke out in heavenly song, I think if the Magi and Elizabeth and Mary and Zacharias and the shepherds and all people who have ever known Jesus are going to glorify him and worship him. Look at that. Returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. Church, that ought to be the Christian community. Brett Simonson, come on. That ought to be all of us that fought, my God, when we think about what God has done, when we think about everything Jesus did to come and bring this to us, and when we know that for unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Church, could there be anything better than that news ever, ever in human history? Ever. Emmanuel, God with us. Nancy Trimble, God with us, God before us, who can be against us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Stand to your feet this morning.